Hello, welcome to Waterfront Park. This tour begins at the Japanese American Historical Plaza on Northwest Cochin Front. And from there, you can walk south along the water at your own pace. This is a self-guided tour. You can stop on benches, look around. What you should do, though, is listen to what I'm going to tell you over the phone about the animals in this park and this environment. Keep your eyes open. This tour is going to last about 8 minutes, so let's begin. The first animal that I want to talk about is the European starling. That's a bird you probably are familiar with. If not, it's sort of a medium, small, brownish, blackish, speckled bird with a bright yellow beak. It makes kind of a whistling, chattering call, kind of like that, maybe. They have a really wide range of vocalizations and can imitate other bird songs or sounds from the environment, like phone ringing or car alarms. So it's hard to necessarily recognize a starling by its call. Starlings have been living in cities for hundreds of years. They first moved into cities during the Middle Ages in Northern and Western Europe. And cities were a great place for starlings because of all the garbage that the starlings could eat, and also because the city provided shelter for the starlings. Before starlings lived in cities, they would migrate, and this required a fair amount of energy and effort, but it was a lot easier for starlings once they started living in cities. Then they didn't have to move around so much, and as a consequence, they were able to raise two sets of babies a year in comparison to the migrating starlings, which could only raise one set. Why are starlings so good at living in cities? Well, besides the fact that they eat garbage, they also share some traits with people, which is that they are aggressive and communicative, and they learn quickly. So these are all things that help starlings get along in cities. Starlings also have a really complex and fascinating language. You know, it's not exactly like our language, but it can be pretty precise. For example, a starling warning call can differentiate between, say, an owl or a person with a gun approaching a starling. And starlings also experience linguistic drift. In other words, as starlings move to different environments, their language changes in response to that environment. So speaking of environments, let's talk a little bit about the strange and exciting environment we're in right now, Waterfront Park. This park has an interesting history. In the mid-1800s, it was a working waterfront, and at the turn of the century, there was a plan to turn this area into a park, although that didn't happen right away. In the 1940s, a big road, Harbor Drive, was built through here, and then it wasn't until 1974 that the road was scrapped and the park was built. And while the environment has changed, so have the animals that have lived here. The native birds and mammals have been replaced with rats and mice and pigeons and starlings and joggers, tourists, teenagers. In addition to all the change that the park has undergone in the last 150 years, it also changes radically each year during the summer festivals. Fences are built and Ferris wheels are erected and gravel paths are laid and electrical lines are strung and hot dog shacks are set up. Lots of equipment comes in on trucks and the grass is matted down and destroyed and then replanted. So it's a really dynamic and changing environment that we're in. And you know, people think of parks as being natural or as being maybe a piece of nature transplanted into the city, but that's really not what this area is at all. This is really a weird hybrid kind of place. Look around, look at the stuff that's here. There's dirt and concrete and asphalt and plants and a river and guardrails, lights, benches, sprinklers, bridges, animals, people. There's a weird mix-mash of different stuff here. And those are only the most obvious things. If you sit down on the grass, say you're here on lunch break eating a burrito, you will notice there are lots of other things living here as well. For example, there are insects. And one of the most interesting insects, I think, here are the ants. Ants are really fascinating. You know, ants, like us, change the environment. They live in colonies, just like people live in cities, and in their colonies they do pretty much the same kind of things that we do. They gather food and remove waste and practice agriculture. Some ants farm fungus, and others of them sort of manage aphids. So ant cities create artificial environments just in the same way that human cities do. And one interesting thing about these artificial environments is that they attract all sorts of animals. So if you open up an ant nest, you'll find all kinds of different things in there besides ants. For example, beetles and flies and butterflies and spiders and scorpions, mites, woodlice, centipedes, millipedes, all kinds of stuff. So I think there's this real interesting parallel between the artificial environments that ants create and the ones that people create. Another interesting environment are the bridges that cross this river. Behind you is the Fremont Bridge, which you probably can't see from where you're at, but that is a really interesting environment because there are peregrine falcons that live on that bridge. Peregrine falcons were nearly decimated by the use of DDT, but since DDT has become unpopular these days, they're making a comeback, and one of the places that they do that is on bridges. It turns out that bridges are really great environments for peregrine falcons. They provide a secluded nest site, and they also are close to a great source of falcon food, namely the pigeons and starlings that live in these parks. In fact, the bridges are reminiscent of the cliffs that the peregrine falcons used to live on before bridges became available. So there's a wide variety of different animals living in all these different artificial environments here. I guess I'd just like to wrap up by underscoring this idea that habitat is where you find it. You know, the city is not anybody's native environment. It's an artificial, changing kind of place, but that doesn't mean that it's a bad place to live for animals or even for people. Look at the falcons and starlings and ants and rats and nutria and all the other wonderful animals that creatively adapt to this strange artificial environment. They are able to live and thrive here, and I think we can learn a lot from them in our own efforts to creatively live and thrive in the city. So that's it. Thank you for listening.